Attention, please. Would Logan Air passengers please proceed to the aircraft?
Fly with me. Oh, won't you fly with me? We'll fly off to the island and then watch the setting sun.
Hello, I'm Joe Mellis, and welcome to Logan Air's Flight Log, where I get to go behind the scenes of the UK's largest regional airline to find answers for your questions and discover exactly what it takes to keep Logan Air in the air and put all of that on air. This is episode 4, and this time we're looking at Logan Air's charter services. Joining us for that is Fiona McLeod, Logan Air's Director of Charter Services. Welcome to Flight Log, Fiona. I'm looking forward to this one because I guess it's behind the curtain a little bit. So who uses Logan Air's charter services and why?
Hello, John. Well, our contractors and ad hoc charter activities are a very important part of our operations. Diverse, agile and resilient, they played a significant role in our continuing to fly throughout the pandemic and also returning us to profitability since. A key component of our business service is working closely with organisations in different sectors across the UK to support their overall operations. In any one day, we could be flying mail across the Highlands and Islands on our cargo planes, delivering essential oil and gas workers around the north of Scotland, flying a top Premiership football club to a cup final, or transporting NHS patients to the most remote communities around the country to mainline hospitals. It's an extremely diverse business that we operate. It's essential we provide the highest level of service delivery to all our charter customers, and most are time critical. That's the reason why most tend to fly charter services. We need to transport high-profile sporting teams to their destinations without delay, with long distances involved, often from one end of the country to another, and that might be Aberdeen to Bournemouth, Aberdeen to Norwich. A bus or a train journey would take too long, so air travel is by far the best option. Our oil and gas customers need to transfer workers offshore without delay to keep the energy industry flowing. And of course, everyone wants to receive their mail through their letterbox without any delays. In addition to businesses, we also have individuals choosing to charter private aircraft. And that might be for a multitude of reasons. Opting to fly in a bespoke service in preference to using normal scheduled services via main airport terminals. It provides additional flexibility. You choose when you want to fly, where you want to go, and it speeds up your travel timelines from door to door. It may be flying guests on a family holiday or to a wedding. Indeed, recently we flew a 38-piece orchestra and florist to a Highland venue for a high-profile wedding. It might be a group of friends travelling for a golfing trip and getting a few sets of clubs in the back of the aircraft. Or it might be a local community coming together to fly school trips. The exciting thing is that the list of reasons why people would look to charter an aircraft is truly endless. In terms of volume, annually we fly around 4,500 charter flights with passengers and more than 4,000 cargo flights, all of which contribute to around 15% of Logan Air's revenue and total flight tally.
You know, I'm trying to figure out who the high-profile wedding in the Highlands was with their 38-piece orchestra. All I can come up with is Jon Snow from Game of Thrones and his now Mrs. Rose Leslie. But you'll be signing non-disclosure agreements every other week at the street.
I couldn't possibly comment.
So we'll never know. How did the charter side of the business start?
Well, interestingly enough, we've been moving goods and charter services since Logan Air was founded back in 1962. So that's over 60 years now. So we originally delivered newspapers and pharmaceuticals to the Western Isles. Scheduled services didn't actually begin operating until a little later in 1964. We began moving people on charters in earnest about 50 years ago when we became involved in transporting oil and gas workers to Shetland to be helicoptered offshore. And in the past 20 years or so, our oil and gas contracts have become more sizable, and we now probably fly in excess of 70,000 offshore workers each year. Flying sporting teams came to the fore when BMI ceased its operation in 2019, and a number of 49-seater jet aircraft entered our fleet. We now work with several major football and rugby teams in various leagues and associations, ensuring we meet their strict timetables for travelling to compete in matches. And obviously it's key when those matches are televised, we can't afford to be late. Last year, we were the official airline partner to the Battle of the Brits tennis tournament, which was founded by Jamie Murray. We flew both the English and Scottish teams together, which was quite interesting, to Aberdeen to compete. And it was exciting to see the Murray brothers play together, possibly for the last time competitively. So Logan Air was delighted to be part of that event as a key sponsor. Last year, we also had the privilege of transporting the Lionesses taking part in the Euros. Who can forget that? Where they made their history with an inspirational win. And over and above that, we regularly fly Formula One teams across to their European races. From a regulatory standpoint, we're permitted to fly within a specific radius from the UK. That's usually about 3 or 4 hours. So there is a limit to how far we can go. To date, the furthest charter flights have taken us nearly 2,000 miles to Riga in the east and as far south as Ibiza and Olbia in Italy, which is around 1,800 miles. We also have flight requests which take us over the Alps, which can be a little bit tricky due to the terrain. So our flight support colleagues regularly need to review flight plans when we're requested to do that. We work with lots of film and TV companies, flying the cast and production teams to their filming locations. Peaky Blinders was one that drew a great deal of interest when we flew them from Manchester to Aberdeen. I don't know if that was because of the cast being in attendance and very popular with certain members of the public. But we've also starred in a Bollywood film. And at the end of 2019, just before COVID hit, we flew one of our aircraft to Prestwick Airport, the backdrop of which had been converted to look like it was set in Dubai. I'm not quite sure how they managed to convert the lushness and greenness of Prestwick to a desert oasis looking like Dubai. But it was certainly great fun watching back the film to spot our aircraft.
Turning Prestwick into Dubai is no mean feat. The other thing I was thinking about there is when you're talking about the Peaky Blinders, that's when they were filming in, I think, Port Soy.
That's
and
correct.
That's when they flew up to Aberdeen. Port Soy was doubling for the furthest northern part of Canada or something. I'm a huge Peaky Blinders fan.
That's right.
And now they're talking about putting a Peaky Blinders theme park, believe it or not, into Birmingham. So you can fly from Aberdeen to Birmingham and go and visit them in Digbeth as well if you want to go from Aberdeen Airport and Loganair. Now, I'm just thinking about this. You must have, looking at all the things that you're talking about there, you must have some really good stories about famous passengers. Can you spill the beans? Can you tell us anything about that?
Well, John, I could talk for hours about this. we've had some really interesting inquiries come in, and yes, we've certainly looked after some very famous people aboard our flights. I think one of the funniest occasions was when one of our brokers asked if we could do a flight for Lionel Messi.
No.
Now, I was very, very new into the business at the time, and I had to admit I knew very little about football.
Right.
And although I'd heard the name, I had no idea exactly who Messi was.
Right.
Now, the flight unfortunately didn't materialise, but people did raise an eyebrow at my lack of football prowess. Of course, I now take a very much keener interest in football and the team's players and everybody that we do transport on our flights just to find out where they are in the league or the championship. In terms of being agile to customer requests, a TV production team was filming up in Benbecula and flying out of the area. It's a very small airport up there, and with less than half an hour to spare before takeoff, they asked for a full bar. Now, to this day, I'm not sure how we managed it, but by the time they stepped onto the aircraft, a fully stocked bar with delicious wines and beers was present, so they were able to enjoy that on the journey home. Now, famous passengers don't always take the form of humans. Indeed, in 1976, we flew Shetland ponies to the Fair Isle after an 80-year absence on the island. Now, the captain did say at the time and did comment that his four-legged passengers had been very well behaved. So that was good to hear.
Nicely done in the fully stocked bar, I have to say. I can tell wherever you go on a girl's night out or trips away, you're the one in charge of the itinerary, aren't you? And also, before you get in touch, we know Messi can walk on air himself, but everyone needs a day off. Now, is there a bun fight? Who gets to crew these flights?
Well, charter flights can be like Marmite for air crew.
Oh.
Pilots either love or hate operating them. Those who don't crew charter flights regularly want to work in them, and those who do crew them regularly don't. The attraction is that they can involve layovers in some beautiful European locations, for example, Toulouse and Perpignan, frequent destinations for our rugby teams. But servicing a charter flight is very a different experience to working on passenger flights, as our clients often have very specific and exacting demands. Sporting teams, for example, have bespoke times that they must adhere to with regards eating, and will often have a nutritionist on board with strict dietary requirements. So we've got to make sure we aren't serving things like fizzy drinks. High-profile sporting teams also like to have derogation approvals. Now, what that means is that they can bring their coaches airside and transfer directly from their coach onto the aircraft, not having to travel through main terminals and the same security screening processes that scheduled passengers do. It speeds up the time of travel, which is always welcomed, and they tend to use a lot of private terminal facilities where they possibly can.
Okay. You sound, Fiona, I have to say, like you love your job.
I absolutely do. I think I have one of the best jobs in aviation. No 2 days are ever the same, and we really don't know what inquiries will come in or who will be asked to fly from one day to the next. We're also learning something new or seeking new growth opportunities every day. For example, after Brexit, when there were long queues at Calais and delays in road transportation, we were asked if we could fly live shellfish from Scotland down to Spain and to France. Right. This meant loading some very specialist storage pods to transport the shellfish to their destinations intact and still live. Now, restaurants were closed at the time because of the pandemic, but there was still consumer demand and people were more than happy to pay the extra costs of receiving their very special Scottish delicacies such as langoustine.
How else did the pandemic affect you? That's an amazing story, but how else did it affect you in terms of what you were doing on a day-to-day basis?
The pandemic had an enormous impact on Loganair's charter services. We'd always served a wide customer base, but we had to pivot almost overnight when scheduled flights stopped, and people still needed to get from A to B, and they needed to get from A to B safely and operating in travelling bubbles. As well as transporting offshore workers from Aberdeen to Sumburgh, we also began operating services from Riga and Gdansk into Aberdeen to ensure the mostly Eastern European crews operating the North Sea's emergency response vessels could continue to work. It was incredibly challenging as we had very stringent health and safety measures in place, including special seating plans to reduce infection and support track and trace, staff wearing face masks and other PPE, and the additional deep cleaning of our aircraft. We also had to contend with Brexit rules and regulations and apply for permits from both the Polish and Latvian governments and equivalents of the CEA in order to gain access to these countries to which we'd never flown previously. Looking back, they were difficult times, but we had tremendous success, and I'm proud of how we were able to support the oil and gas industry in this critical role. I'm also proud of the amazing job our teams did in converting aircraft into air ambulances during COVID. This highly complex undertaking was delivered by our engineering team, who developed a bespoke model for carrying patients, which had to then be approved by the Civil Aviation Authority. Aircraft were converted from our normal passenger planes and reconfigured to be able to carry 2 stretchers, seating for associated clinical teams and accompanying family members where permitted. Overall, our air ambulances operated for about 18 months, ensuring people could get from Highlands and Islands to hospitals in Aberdeen, Glasgow or beyond. We almost became another emergency service, moving critically ill people very quickly to get the help they needed.
It's a thing that you discover very quickly when you're looking at Loganair is they've always been intertwined with the communities that they serve. And there's another great example. And you still offer other NHS services, don't you?
Indeed, we do. We fly NHS patients from Highlands and Islands on our scheduled services to appointments on the mainland day in, day out. Quite a few babies have been born on Loganair aircraft. Indeed, last summer, a set of twins born on a flight between Tingwall and Shetland and Aberdeen celebrated their 40th birthdays. Wow. And we surprised them with tickets at a special event in Sumburgh. The eldest twin was born in the air and the youngest made an appearance on the runway at Aberdeen Airport following touchdown.
Fab.
Another healthcare service we provide, which really does mean a lot to us, is flights that we provide for our charity partner, Children's Hospices across Scotland, or CHAS as it's better known. As the country's only palliative care provider for children, it's vital that CHAS can reach those in need. So we provide children and staff nurses with flights, enabling CHAS to offer a specialist care and vital respite to families across the country within their own homes. We also run special charter flights at specific times of the year for these children and their families. It might be a flight to meet Santa or to see the Easter Bunny. And it's truly humbling to see the excitement in children who might never have been on a plane before. Truly humbling indeed.
Every time they tell me about that particular service, that always gets me. How long have you been doing this, Fiona? And how did you get into the role?
Well, I joined Loganair 4 years ago, and I've worked in previous sales and marketing roles in a number of different sectors, such as hospitality, utilities, energy, oil and gas. And I'd previously had experience in aviation working with a global helicopter company. But when I left, I hugely missed the aviation world. So when I was approached after a position became available, I was absolutely delighted to return to aviation in a slightly different capacity with Loganair. In the charter team that I work with, I have a fantastic team of five, all women, with a wide breadth of experience, and we're all extremely passionate about what we do. We all do love our jobs.
Fiona, thank you so much for joining us. I'm John Ellis. That was episode 4 of Loganair's Flight Log, where we take the big issues of being in the air and put them on air. On our next Flight Log, just how complicated a job is it to run the day-to-day operations of the UK's largest regional airline? Well, why don't we ask the guy who does? Our guest next time is Maurice Boyle, Chief Operations Officer at Loganair, when we're back for episode 5 of Flight Log. Find us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you usually listen, right here, and on Loganair's own webpage. Remember, if you enjoyed Flight Log, please rate and recommend us, and please follow us if you have that option. That way, Flight Log will touch down with you whenever we publish a new episode. We'll see you next time for episode 5. Thanks for listening. So we're home.